One of the most, I guess, famous passages in all of Scripture occur in the book of Matthew, chapter 7 and verse 12. And this morning we're going to look at that passage and we'll be discussing it as it applies to us today. Appreciate so very, very much everyone being here this morning. And if you're visiting with us, we're certainly glad that you've come our way. And it's good to see the members that are here. And first Sunday of the new year. And we certainly hope that our year will have good sight, 2020, in regards to living a good spiritual life and doing as God would have us to do. But again, we appreciate so very, very much your being here today. Today, we're going to be thinking about thinking right toward others. We discussed just a Sunday or so ago about the importance of our thinking. And I believe that it's important that we get our hearts right. And as we think about this idea of this great passage that the Lord said, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. This concept of whatever you want men to do to you, that's a thinking process. To stop and think about what I want them to do this to me. To concentrate on that, to think about that. How we treat others. So this morning, we're going to take a very simplistic look at the idea of this great passage in a very practical way, I hope, that'll be beneficial to each person. So, if we apply this golden rule, if you will, about treating others the way we want to be treated, how would we do that? What would we do? A couple of thoughts. First, I think that showing interest in other people is a significant point. I think that it's easier for us to just not bother. You get involved with other people, you show interest in other people, and there's sometimes a lot of baggage that comes with that. So it's just best that we not get involved. So we don't ask people. We don't get involved with others. Because it's going to cost you something. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4, Paul admonished and said, do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. So I want to say to you that to rightly apply what the Lord said in Matthew 7 and verse 12, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. Do we get a little bit upset or frustrated if no one asks us how we're doing? Do we become a little bit offended if we've been through some difficulties and no one even speaks to us about it? When we stop to consider that, someone rightly said, you can make more friends in 2 months by becoming interested in other people than you can in 2 years in trying to get other people interested in you. That's a pretty interesting statement. And I think it's biblically based, when you read passages like Proverbs in 18 and verse 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. I think I hear people all the time say, I don't have any friends. I don't know that I've ever said this to someone that made that comment, but most usually, you could reply to that person and it'd be absolutely true. Well, you're just not a very friendly person yourself. I think we need to stop and think about that just for a moment. You may not have friends because you're just not interested in other people. You're just not a very friendly person. You don't go out of your way to talk to anybody else. You don't go out of your way to do anything else for other people? So you live a lonely existence. So at the heart of the golden rule here is this principle of every day of our lives, we need to show interest in other people. Secondly, I think it suggests to us that we genuinely care about other people. It's not just that we have an ulterior motive that, well, I'm only going to speak to you so you'll ask me about me. That is genuinely self-centered and an evil motive. We talk to other people because we have a genuine care about other people. It doesn't take very long in having a communication with someone, talking to someone, that you soon find out if someone really cares. There's an experiment one time by a preacher that he stood at the back door shaking everybody out, you know. And most usually people will come by and they'll say something like, "Oh, great sermon, preacher. I really enjoyed that." And then leave. And that's appreciated. But it becomes a little bit sometime disingenuous. Well, what the preacher tried, he did this. He was smiling and he would shake hands with people as they would come out. And they say, "Oh, that was a wonderful sermon." And he would smile, but he would say, "Well, my father just died." And they would just smile back and say, "Oh, that's great, preacher. See you next Sunday." And he continued to do that, and just about everyone that came out the door did not even hear what the preacher actually said. Now, I predict that people will be leaving today. "Did your father die yesterday?" Here's the point. Division and sectarianism can be healed and prevented with genuinely caring about other people. Let me show you how that works. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're studying this book in the adult Bible class on Sunday mornings, and it might be a couple more weeks before we get to chapter 12, but I will suggest to you in chapter 12, notice this statement by the Apostle Paul. He says in verse 25 and 26, he says, "There should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." So there is a function of the body that keeps it together, united, and happy. Is when each and every member is cared for equally. It's easy to become, the East Side Church and the West Side Church and the Central Church. And it's easy to become what even some would call cliquish, to only talk to your select few. And it may be just your family. Maybe just your special friends. Then there are the ones who, as soon as the amen is said, they're out of here. So we have to really stop and think about this. Do I genuinely care about other people? And how would I do that? How would I demonstrate that? I'm just suggesting that it might be that you actually have concern for someone else and talk to someone else and get involved with someone else that you normally don't talk to. It's difficult with a group this size for us to talk to everyone. You just cannot do that. Because you will bump into someone that you will have a pretty good conversation with. And then you'll miss 20, 30 people that you don't get to talk to. That's difficult. It's hard. So some people come earlier so they can talk to people. Some stay later so they can talk to people. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And so many times we are not able to do that because we don't know what others are dealing with. Thirdly, just build up the other person. I don't think I can embarrass this fella. But this morning I got a text right before I was getting ready to get in the car. And it just said, "I'm glad you're my friend." Well, that was a great text. I read it to my wife. And the cynic that she is. "What did he do that for?" I said, "What do you mean, what did he do that for?" You see, sometimes things can happen like that that is genuinely encouraging and upbuilding. And then here's our thinking process. Okay, what did they mean by that? As opposed to, "Wow, that was great. Thanks." Paul said in Philippians 2 and verse 3, we read from verse 4 a while ago, verse 3 says, "Let each of you regard one another as more important than himself." I think American buffets have taught us that you get in line as quickly as you can and you get as much as you can for yourself before everyone else comes and gets it and you don't get any. Right? Spiritually speaking, we need to edify others. And that does take time, that takes effort, that takes thinking about, taking a moment to care about the other person. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11, "Therefore encourage one another and build up one another, just as you are also doing." Verse 14, "And we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all men." I must say, even as a preacher, I know this happens. There are people who never speak to me. So I'm thinking, if you want to speak to the preacher, do you speak to anybody else? Building up the other person means you have to have contact with the person. That's really what the whole assembly is designed to be, is a coming together, singing, praying, etc., to help each other, motivate each other, and encourage each other. And you can only do that first and primarily verbally. Sometimes it's not even verbal. Sometimes it's just a handshake or a hug or a smile. I get encouragement from people all the time in the pulpit when I'm preaching. And I'm preaching a point, whether it's positive or negative, or it's a hard point or it's a soft point. And I can see brethren there in the audience and they'll be looking right at me. I can tell, we hit, yeah. And they're smiling at me. Sometimes you have to look longer to determine if that is a smile of, "I hate that point," or "I like that point." And then you've got the head shakers, they'll... "And I do see..." "And I see this..." "I see this..." So all of you in some way encourage me. And some of you discourage me. But we should build up each other. Being cheerful. It just takes a little thought to be cheerful. You can be sad. You can be pouty. You can come into this building and sit here the whole time like someone just, you know, ran over your dog. Or you can choose to be cheerful. The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4, he said, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice." It's just the nature, the spirit, it's just the way of a Christian to be so happy and thankful for what we've been given, that we've been forgiven, and we care about other people, that we reach out with our smiles, with our voices, with our care, with our concern. And I want to say to you, if you want to be miserable, if you want to feel all alone, if you want to feel like this church doesn't mean anything to you, then just don't ever talk to anybody, don't visit anybody, don't encourage anybody, don't talk to anybody. Just come in, sit down, and amen, leave. And you're going to be the most pitiful person in the world. And of course you're going to blame everyone else because you feel so bad. And I'm going to say to you in a very, very simple way, you're not obeying the golden rule. That is not the way you want to be treated. Then stop treating other people that way. So, application is just applying this golden rule every day. One of the four basic rules of memorizing Scripture and applying Scripture is that you read it a bunch of times. Secondly, you have some kind of recording or something and you hear it a bunch of times. And then thirdly, you write it out word for word a bunch of times. And then the fourth thing is you meditate and think about it a lot. Now when you do those four things, this passage is going to become embedded in your heart. What was it that the wise man said? "Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee." I think if we just took this one passage, beginning of 2020, just take this one passage and read it a bunch of times, listen to it a bunch of times, write it down a bunch of times, and then think about it a whole lot, it would be in your heart and it would change your actions. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So what if I'm thinking constantly about whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them? I guarantee you, if you do that, you will no longer come in this place or Foodland or wherever, and you're just in your own little world and nobody else matters. It's the golden rule. And lest you think that this does not apply to you, you would be greatly deceived. There is no excuse for any of us living in our own little world. So, how would that then apply in regards to our family? Would that change our family relationship? Just think how that would alter husband-wife relationship. showing interest in other people, genuinely caring about other people, building up the other person, being cheerful, simply applying the golden rule each day. How would that help your husband-wife relationship? Wow. I'm thinking most of us as spouses are sitting there thinking, well, you know, I really don't think about that. That's the first mistake. Secondly, I don't ever really consciously do that. That's your second mistake. And then thirdly, I don't think that would help. That would be your third mistake. And three strikes, you would be out. Parent-child relationship. You know, if we teach our children the golden rule, just if they applied it to us as parents, I think that would change a lot of things. What about your neighbors? How would that change your relationship? How would it change in regards to your brethren? I think Anderson is a great church. I don't think we're perfect because we're people. None of us are perfect. But we can do better. We can do more, right? If we just took the golden rule starting 2020 and we just say, okay, I'm going to work on this. What are you going to do? You're first going to get it in your heart. You're going to do those four things. You're going to put this verse in your heart. And when that verse is in your heart, as each individual improves in this regard, it will then exponentially improve the local church. And when the local church improves, we have a greater effect on the community. It's only when each individual steps up and says, I'm going to do it. And the next individual, I'm going to do it. And when we start to see others doing that, it encourages us to do that. It's contagious in a good way. And I sincerely, this morning, I very sincerely encourage you. I hesitate to say a New Year's resolution. I would prefer to say a new life resolution. Is to follow the golden rule. Now, how many times you heard the golden rule? How many times you stated the golden rule? How many times you read over that golden rule? But did you ever think it actually applied? That it actually meant anything in regards to non-Christians? You know, if we start thinking about the world, you have a friend at work who is divorced. Five times. Oh, I'm not going to get into it with them about the gospel. I have to be talking about marriage and divorce. I don't want to do all of that. Well, if that role were reversed and you were that person, would you want a Christian to talk to you? You see, it's important for us to understand what Jesus was trying to teach us in our relationship, even to our enemies. Why else later in this great text, or the Sermon on the Mount, would Jesus say that you have heard it said of old, you shall hate your enemies. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Now, back to the verse. Did you notice the last little phrase? For this is the law and the prophets. You see, in the whole Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is making reference to what you've heard, what was taught, what was a part of the old law, what was Pharisaical, etc. He says, you've heard these kinds of things, but I say unto you, he's establishing the law of Christ. He's establishing the new way of thinking in regards to his kingdom that is coming. And what he established by his authority is the golden rule. And then what he says is, that's really the whole intent and purpose of the whole law and the prophets. God hasn't changed really at all. He's trying to change us. And for centuries, we have rebelled against it. Regardless of the patriarchal law, regardless of the Mosaic law, and now the new law of Christ, we as men are still fighting it. So why not really 2020? Here's our perfect vision. Here's our perfect start. Let's just practice the golden rule in every aspect of our life with every person that we meet, and especially those of the household of faith. Paul said to the Galatians in Galatians 6 and verse 10, "Wherefore you have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially they of the household of Christ." Galatians 6 verse 10. So, what do you need to do? Well, today, just be resolved. Make up your mind to do better. To do more. Don't rush out of the building. Talk to people you don't even know. I continually hear, even amongst us, we're less than 200 people. I've preached for congregations that were over 300 people. And you hear them say, "Well, there's a bunch of people in this church, I don't even know who they are." Duh, whose fault is that? So, encourage others. Lift up each other. Care about others. And what that will do is, amazingly, it will encourage you and lift you up more. There is nothing more encouraging to talk to our mature Christians in this church. Whether they're in their 70s, their 80s, or their 90s, they are representatives of all of those ages here today. And they are just great people. And they're walking real slow. You'll find out who they are. They have kind of whitish hair. And they walk in real slow. And lots of times they're just by themselves. Don't let that happen. Children. They love children. Don't run into them by running. Run to them and thank them for their faith, for their faithfulness, for their being here. And tell them how much you appreciate them. Yeah, young people do that. Middle-aged folks do that. Older folks do that. If we just get into the habit of really being this cheerful, thankful, grateful person, it is highly contagious. And it brings about a unity and a peace that others out there will want to be a part of. You've listened very kindly today, and I thank you for that. What a great passage, the golden rule. I hope you apply it. If you're here today and not a Christian, we want to encourage you to become one. Becoming a Christian is the most important thing you ever do. There is a God who loves you more than you can imagine. And everything that you've ever done sinful in your life has not turned Him away from you, in that He no longer loves you and He will no longer help you. Quite the opposite. As many bad things and sinful things as we have done, He loves us still. And He'll save us. We've got time and opportunity today. If you need to be baptized into Christ, there's water in the baptistry. Jimmy told me just the other day, he got her all cleaned up. Probably no spiders or roaches, anything crawling around in there. You can be baptized today. There's clothes ready. You just need to get your heart right. Don't you want to be saved? Don't you want to go to heaven? Won't you let us help you today? If you need the prayers of the church here, we can pray with you and pray for you. Let's do better. Let's do more. 2020. For some reason or another, that just hurts when I say that year. Because I start subtracting and everything back. You get the point. But it's 2020. It's here. So let's make the best of it. Won't you come as we stand and sing?
293. 293.